cold. Put some cold, let's see, y'all a little chilly. Well, praise the Lord for good blanket, amen? Yeah, chilly today, but hot. What is hot tamale what? Chilly today, but hot tamale tomorrow, amen? All right. That's right. Well, take your Bibles. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. And got some good rain today. And I don't know about you, but I got out, I guess after it rained quite a bit, and with the umbrella, it was still coming down, and kind of walked around and made sure everything was draining like it's supposed to. You can't hear me? I've got it on and on. Am I on? All right. Can you hear back there, Marco? All right, amen. And walked around, and sure enough, everything was draining the way it was supposed to, and I was excited. Well, I was blessed that the water was leaving the yard like it's supposed to. Don't want any more water. I mean, want water on the grass, just don't want it in the house. Amen? Right. All right, well, let's all stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to begin in verse 39. I'm going to take it through verse 42, just the first half of verse 42, or the first part of verse 42. We'll not cover all that this evening, but we'll get our appetite wet with all of this passage, and then we'll speak on verse 39, try to in its entirety this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 39. If you found that this evening, would you say amen? Amen? All right, the Word of God reads this. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another star in glory. And then he kind of sums it up right here, verse 42. So also is the resurrection of the dead. Amen? Amen? So also is the resurrection of the dead. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather again in your name, Lord. Thank you that we can come together on a rainy night. We can have a dry place to sit, cool place to listen. And Lord, we've got Bibles galore, lights on. It's just a blessing to be here, Father. We pray for those that wanted to be here that couldn't be here, Lord. We pray you make a way for them to be here this Wednesday, next Sunday morning. And Lord, we're thankful for the visitors that we had this morning. And Lord, for the church that we have back here this evening. Father God, I pray you open our hearts, our minds to your word this evening, Lord, as we kind of teach it, go through it. And Lord, I pray that we be encouraged. I pray we get some things to be that apologist. Be that defender of the faith, not the argumentative jerk, but the defender of the faith when we leave this place. Lord, where we can speak truth in love to people that desperately need to hear it, and we can have some substance behind what we say. More than just God loves you and Jesus died on the cross, but we can connect the dots in the Bible as we Bible study through it to show folks this is the real deal. Faith is real. Heaven is real. Death is real. Hell is real. We have a choice, and we need to make the choice for Christ. That's a real choice. Lord, I pray that you would help us learn all we can, remember all we can, and communicate all we can to those that need to hear it. Lord, may we be the walking Bible thesaurus you've called us to be. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, all right, thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Now, here we are. We're back at this answer that Paul is giving, this answer that he continues to build upon. Now, as in Corinth, back then, 2,000 plus years ago, so still today, people including some Christians become perplexed and bothered about how God could do what? How he could restore the bodies of those who've been lost at sea, how they've been blown up in an explosion, perhaps even cremated. You know, that's an option. That's a choice today. this guy that just a music figure, Prince, and then at one time, this guy was kind of bebopping around, coming on the scene when I was in high school back in the 80s, and then for a time he was the artist previously known as Prince. But anyway, that guy has gone on into eternity. I don't know if he was saved. I kind of doubt he was, but who knows, maybe. But my soul, I want to tell you, moved on and moved out. Death is what? Death is what? Real, right? I mean, death is coming. 57 years old, living in a mansion, Paisley Park, whatever. And, you know, all these people almost like worshiping this guy. And it's so amazing, you know, when one of these figures dies, they said the same thing about Michael Jackson. I'm thinking, make up y'all's mind. Not everybody can be the best, right? Not everybody can be, well, what's going on here? I thought Michael Jackson was the best. He was the most talented. He was, and then this guy, and what's up with that? But anyway, yeah, secular inside. But anyway, back to this Prince, his body's already been cremated. They've already cremated the body. I want to tell you, that body will be resurrected either for the marriage supper of the Lamb or for the white throne judgment. One of the two. That body's going to come back together. And so, yeah, it is. So here we are. So why is God restoring those bodies, bodies that have been exploded, bodies that have been cremated, bodies that have been lost at sea, bodies that have decomposed in the grave? Why is His restoring those bodies more miraculous? Why are they more miraculous and unbelievable than His creating the universe? Back to that, you know, and we're going to get to that next week when we talk about all this celestial and terrestrial, right? We're going to get to that next week. But my soul, He spoke it into what? He spoke it into being. I mean, into being, He spoke it. God is powerful, right? Whether the body has been cremated, blown up, lost at sea, every dead body, no matter how well embalmed, eventually turns to dust. Therefore, if that body resurrects, then someone powerful is behind the resurrection. This is what we said last week. We're just kind of reviewing it with you. In verse 35, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Verse 35. We started that last week. Paul's doing what? He's answering that question, right? He's answering that question. Paul begins to answer this question four ways. We began last week with the first answer. Nature illustrates the resurrection. Verses 36 through 38. Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. Verse 38, but God giveth it a body as it hath pleased Him, and to every seed his own body. Paul begins to answer the question in verse 35 with an illustration from nature, right? We covered it last week. Man, there's got to be a dying, a dissolution, a dissolving, right? A dying. And then we talked about the difference in verse 37. And then in verse 38, we talked about the continuity, right? My body, your body, resurrected body, one day in glory, one day in heaven, will resemble this body, but it will be what? Totally different. Totally different. The same, yet different. Without sin. This body's in sin. This body's been touched with sin. That new body will not be. Amen? Going to be a great body one day, right? So he begins to answer this question four ways, and we began last week with the first answer. We continue on this evening with the second part of the answer, which deals with the difference and uniqueness of the human body and the human body's place in creation. The place of humanity in the whole grand scheme of things, right? If you're taking notes, the second answer is simply this. The first one was nature illustrates this resurrection. But number two, beginning tonight, the unique form of the body to be resurrected, right? Friend, you're a unique form tonight. You say, well, I've been trying to tell him or I've been trying to tell her that for 30 years, right? Well, you're just one of a kind. You're unique. Well, God broke the mold when He made you, right? That's true. The unique form of the body to be resurrected. Verses 39 through 42a. And we're looking at 39 real specifically here. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. Kind of a descending order there, isn't it? That's what's going on, a descending order. From the first analogy that life comes forth out of death, that was verses 36 through 38, Paul he's moving on to the second analogy. And then after this one in verse 39, he's going to move on to a third analogy when he talks about space, the sun, the moon, the stars, and all of that. Tonight we're dealing with this second analogy. What is the second analogy? What is it? Ding, 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 ding. What is the second analogy? Do you see the second analogy in the verse? The second analogy in the verse is the dissimilarity of flesh. Look at verse 39 again. All flesh is not the same flesh. You see the analogy there? It's not all the same. But there is one kind of flesh of men, another of flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. I want to tell you, you could write volumes on that one verse. Volumes on that one verse. There have been scientific volumes written on this one verse, what this verse means, when you break this verse all down. Paul writes about the physical substance of living creatures. That is the flesh of human beings, the flesh of beasts, right? I've got several of them at my house, beasts. Dogs, cats. We had some roast beast today, right? It was a roast pig, wasn't it, honey? Wasn't that pig? Yeah. Yeah. It was good. Amen? We had some roast beast, right? I had a beast that we're trying to keep in the house, and we couldn't keep the beast in. So the beast has gotten out again, and we got to get the beast back in when we get home. Yeah. We've kind of come to the point, we don't care much more about that beast, do we? Right? Stephanie's like, not really. If we could eat the beast, trust me, we might. But anyway, they do eat this beast in other parts of the world. I'll just say that. But anyway, okay, the beast, right? So I digress. Let me get back on track here. The difference about the substance of these living creatures. Human beings, beasts, bird, and fish. Now, you've heard this before. Where have you heard it? You've heard it in Genesis. Where about in Genesis? Genesis chapter 1, verses 23 through 27. But what is different about that list in Genesis chapter 1, verses 23 through 27? It's reversed order. But it's still descending, or still ascending. It's an ascending order. Here we have a descending order. Now, there's no question that the physiology of all these creatures differs considerably. Amen? I mean, they differ considerably. The flesh of a human being varies from that of cattle, varies from that of fowl, varies from that of even fish. For God has created each one unlike the other. Now, fish have eyes, and I have an eye, but it's kind of a different eye, right? Cow has a heart, and I have a heart, but a little bit different, you know. There's lungs involved there, but not quite exactly the same, right? Different flesh, right? In God's creation, we find an overwhelming variation that is complementary through the creation's non-conformity. This is going to make sense in a minute, I promise. It's going to make sense. See, this analogy should be understood as a follow-up of the last part of the preceding verse in verse 38. You see it? And to every seed his own body. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. And then it goes into verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh. You see it there? Just as there is immeasurable diversity in the plant world, so there is infinite dissimilarity in the world of man and animal and bird and fish. I love these folks that go all out and raise all this money for these animals, for these dogs and these cats and all of the humane society stuff. I love it. But they're not people, amen? They are not people. And boy, we've got people starving. We've got people starving just 20 miles from here. We've probably got people starving right here in this community, right? Need a hand up, need a hand out, amen? Right? You see what? There's a difference, right? There's a difference is what Paul is trying to bring out. He's trying to put man up above all of that created order that has been created by Almighty God. God has placed human beings above all the other creaturely categories that Paul has listed here in descending order. And so what is the inference of this analogy? What's going on here as we kind of teach it out tonight? The inference that Paul's readers, and certainly we are to deduce, is that God is able to give both men and women transformed and glorified bodies. Why? Because we're at the top, amen, of the created order. We've been set apart, if you will. Set apart in Genesis, again set apart here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It kind of makes you think that the Corinthians had some kind of idea of what was in Genesis, since that was the Bible back then, the Old Testament. How many books in the Old Testament? 39. And what were the first five books of the Old Testament called? The Law, the books of Torah, the books of Moses, right? So I'm sure these books had gone, or maybe they had a copy, but the way he writes, it kind of seems there was some familiarity going on there in Corinth with Genesis, right? So as we kind of get the flavor of the inference, who did God appoint to be the head of his creation? If we go back to Genesis, Adam, amen? And who did God crown with glory and honor? Who did he crown with glory and honor? He crowned Jesus with glory and honor, but what was he, what part of Jesus was he crowning with glory and honor when we read about it in Psalms talking about the Son of Man coming, and when we read that it's already happened in Hebrews, what part of Christ is he talking about? He's talking about Jesus' human form. That's what he's talking about. Psalm chapter 8, verse 5, looking forward to the Son of Man, for thou hast made him a little lower. Messianic prediction, messianic psalm, messianic revelation. For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Right? Humanity. Humanity. Crowned with glory and honor. Jesus coming in the form of a man, crowned with glory and honor. So, what do we pull out of the truth? What do we get out of this truth tonight as we think about this? And this is kind of deep on off in there, and so we're not going to just drag the horse to death, but we want to get the point out there, and then when we come back next week, we'll talk about the stars and the sun and the moon and all that, and then tie it all together. But what do we want to get out of here? What do we want to extrapolate out of this truth, draw out of it, pull out of it? What do we want to get? You know, like a sponge in water. What do we want to suck up tonight out of this truth, right? Don't you like, isn't that cool? When you take a sponge, first time sponge, right? And you put it in the water, and it's all small, thin, and crumbly, and it just comes alive, don't it? Amen? That's our mind. What do we want to get out of this truth tonight as we kind of suck up the truth that we're hearing? What is the truth that we can wring out of this second analogy? I'll tell you this. This will help you. I love it when genetics and science and those folks that have all these letters after their name and all these degrees, I love it when they climb the mountain of truth and they get to the top, and guess who they find? They find God up there. Right? They find God up at the top. Let me tell you what science tells us. Science tells us, science affirms God's word, so to speak. Science tells us that there are some 600 octodecillion different combinations of amino acids. Octodecillion. Now, everybody knows what octodecillion is. No, we don't know what that is. An octodecillion is 10 to the 108th power. How many of you remember exponents in school? 10 to the second power. 10 times 10 is 100. 10 to the third power is, what is it, Blake? What is 10 to the third power? 10 times 10 times 10. 10 times 10 times 10 is what? 1,000. 10 to the fourth power? 10,000. Right? Do you see where we're going? Okay. Marco's back there. He's tracking with me. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Octodecillion. All right. An octodecillion is 10 to the 108th power, or it would be a 1, are you ready? Followed by 108 zeros. 108 zeros. Science tells us that there are some 600 octodecillion different combinations of amino acids. That's a big number. I can't say that number. I can barely say octodecillion. Right? What are amino acids, Pastor? Amino acids are the building blocks of all of life. Your body's got them. My beasts at the house have them. The roast beast we ate today has it. The mashed potatoes we ingested had it. The green beans. Amino acids. Everything is full of amino acids. And what it looks like and how it's been created are the combinations, the different combinations of the building blocks of life. See, not only does each type of plant and animal life have a distinct pattern of amino acids, but each individual plant, each individual animal, each individual human being has its own unique grouping of these amino acids. My amino acids aren't exactly like your amino acids, and your amino acids aren't exactly like the person next to you. We all have them, but they're all just a little different, right? I knew something was wrong with Pastor Lee. His amino acids are off. Amen? Yeah. He's been tweaked the wrong way. That's it. The amino acids all the way down to the bottom. The amino acids, something going on there. See, what we're saying is this. I've got these beautiful, what are those flowers we planted around that crepe myrtle? Oh, we've got these beautiful geraniums. Beautiful. But there's no two of them alike. Now, there's a few that have the same color. But you look at the leaves, and the little band of darker green in the leaf is not quite the same as each or the other. And then we've got white geraniums, beautiful flowers. Oh, man. And then we've got crepe myrtles on the property, but those crepe myrtles are very different from one another, but they're all crepe myrtles, right? No two what? No two flowers are the same. No two snowflakes are what? The same. No two seeds. They look the same. You get them under a microscope, they're not quite exactly the same. No two blades of grass are the same. No two human beings are the same. Even identical twins, they're not the same. Amen, Miss Vicki? Right? They may fool me, but they don't fool the Almighty. They're two different people. Amen? All right. Yet each mention, flowers, seeds, blades of grass, identical twins. Each mention is completely identified with its own species or kind. You see that? This is what we're saying. What we have here in verse 39, why we're not going any further than verse 39, is that these two facts that we pull out of verse 39, that science affirms in verse 39, or the Bible screams in science, say it either way, those two facts make one of the strongest scientific evidence against what? That's it. See, no matter what we eat, you've always heard the saying, you are what you eat. That's a lie. That ain't right. No matter what we may eat. Man, if I was what I ate, I'd be a box of oatmeal, man. You'd be chicken. You'd be going, burk, 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 burk. I'd be a cylinder of oatmeal waiting to be poured out. That's how much oatmeal I eat, right? You hear what I'm saying? No matter what we may eat, no matter how specialized or unbalanced our diet may be, right? Some of us try to eat right. Some of us really don't care. No matter what our environment might be, we will never change into another form of life. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. We may become healthier. We may become more sickly. We may get heavier. We may get lighter. But we will never be anything but a human being, and never any human being but the one God made us to be. Amen. The biological codes of the amino acids of who you are, they are binding and they are unique. There is no repeatable or demonstrable scientific proof that one form of life has changed or could change into another form of life, which debunks all of the theory of evolution. So what do I get out? What do I get out of this to take with me tonight? I mean, what's this all about, friend? This is real. The Bible is real. Your faith is real. But it's real, right? When you face lost people tomorrow, you ought to have an inner confidence that who you are and what God's called you to be and the Jesus that you carry around, it's real. Amen? You ought to be affirmed in your spirit. You ought to be encouraged tonight that, man, what you're doing is not a waste of time. This is real. Amen? We're on a path that is real. We're going to a heaven that is real. I mean, we bear the fingerprint of God on us. If we're saved tonight, we bear the fingerprint of God in us. We've been touched, right? It's real. That's what you need to get. And that's as far as I'm going. We'll talk about the moon, the sun, the stars next week. Amen? And then verse 42, the first little phrase, so also is the resurrection of the dead. And we'll get to that and what all that means. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You, Lord, that we can proclaim Your name, sing praises to who You are, have a grateful and thankful heart for what You've done with us, for what You're doing in us, for what You want to do with us this coming week. Lord, help us be a bold person for Christ. Help us be on mission. Lord, help us be on the move. Help us have our eyes looking outward. And Lord, may You be able to use us in a mighty way. Lord, whether it be with our grandkids or our great-grandkids or our kids or our co-workers or our neighbors or people we run into, Lord, may we be a source of encouragement. May we be a source of the gospel. May we be a source of their salvation. Thank You for setting us apart, for loving us, for holding us up, and for helping us. Thank You for Your Word and how it sees us through. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit and the anointing it gives. Thank You for an opportunity to come tonight. We lift up the prayer time, Lord, and we pray that it would truly be a concert of praise and worship to You as we make intercession on behalf of others. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. All right.